We're in Acts chapter 18 this morning. As you notice, we have been going through the book of Acts. So if you've been here sometime in this last year, you would have realized we've been going through Acts. So we're continuing that. And so as we're looking through Acts, I think, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but there might be this general theme going on in Acts. This, I don't know if you noticed, but it seems like Christians just share the gospel to people. I don't know if anyone sees this. Maybe this is me, right? But it's very clear that the book of Acts, we see Christians and we see evangelism just hand in hand, because that's just what happens. That's just what Christians do. And as you look, the title of this sermon today, I actually borrowed from a book called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. I did not make up this title. It's actually a book by J.I. Packer, which kind of talks about these things. And as we look through Acts 18 today, we're going to see how do these two things fit hand in hand together. It's very exciting. So we're going to be in Acts 18, verse 1 through 17. And so today, what I want us to look and focus on, and the point that we're heading towards this morning, and what we as believers and we as a church needs to remember, that Christ has called us to trust in His promises as we advance the gospel for His kingdom. We're called to trust in His promises, the promises He gives us, and we're going to look a little bit at what are some of those promises. But we're called to trust in His promises, and we're called to advance His kingdom through the gospel. Simply put, we're supposed to preach His word to everybody and anybody who would listen. And that's just what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to preach it in a way that we trust that Christ knows what He's doing, and it doesn't matter what we're doing. It's just as long as we're obedient. So we're called to trust, one more time, we're called to trust in Christ's promises as we advance the gospel and its kingdom. So let's pick up where we left off from last week. So we're in Acts chapter 18, verse 1. I'm going to start reading. And we'll be reading here in the ESV. It goes, "After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and tried to persuade the Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.' And he left there, and he went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. And his house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized." We'll stop right there. And we get to our first point when we look right off the bat, as we see Paul trusting in Christ, so he's going on advancing the gospel. And the first thing we see is the gospel is offensive to the proud and righteous. The gospel is offensive to the proud and righteous. All right, so little background on what's going on, right? So Paul was in Athens. He leaves Athens, and we're heading to the end of his journey, his second missionary journey. He leaves Athens, and he ends up in Corinth. Now, Corinth is a pretty big city, right? It's big, it's well off, it's brand spanking new in that time. It just got rebuilt not too long ago. We got two ports in Corinth. And so, as you know, at those times, Ports mean lots of trade, lots of different cultures and people. There's just lots of people there. A lot of things going on. There's these Isthmus games that happen every other year, which is kind of like the Olympics. So they have a whole bunch of different games. We got Olympics, which is probably the most well-known in our time. That happens once every 4 years. And then they also have various other games, and one of these games is the Isthmus Games. It happens every other year, every 2 years. So it's huge. A lot of people come, they watch. There's a lot of there's a lot of commerce, a lot of money. It's brand new. You know, the buildings are new. A lot of different cultures. And on top of that, we got this huge temple to the goddess Athena. Oh no, not Athena. Aphrodite. As you might know, she is the goddess of love, right? And so it might sound nice and gushy for Hallmark in this day, but back in that time, the temple was pretty much filled with prostitutes. And as part of your worship to this goddess, the prostitutes were, yeah. So you can kind of use your imagination to what's going on. So it's pretty promiscuous, you can say. Even within their language at their time, they used the word Corinth to kind of describe things going on, all right? So I believe it's like to say, you know, like someone who's really, like to say that, you know, a prostitute had the word Corinthian in there. There's like Corinthismi, or, you know, words like that where you can see like the word Corinth and it's explained, you know, it just had a really bad connotation to it. So simply put, what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. If you understand what I'm saying, right? So we see that this place is very, well, very Vegas-like. So we get here, and this is where Paul ends up. Probably the last place where you find God-fearing people, okay? But there's a group of Jews. And as what Paul does, he goes, first of all, he goes to the synagogue and starts preaching. And he starts sharing the good news of Christ to people, especially the Jews there. So in the synagogues, you're going to find Jewish people, and you're going to find what they call God-fearers, which are Gentiles, who are, you know, they're worshiper of Yahweh. And so he goes and starts preaching good news, and we see that he meets some people along the way. We see that he meets Aquila and Priscilla, which were also Jews. They were up in Rome, and they kind of got driven out of there. A lot of the Christians kind of got kicked out of Rome at that time because they weren't really getting along with the Jewish people at the time, as we've been seeing that the Jews don't really like this message very much, and we see Paul constantly moving along. And so we see people come, you know, they're there, and we kind of get introduced to them, and Paul is working alongside with them, and we see that Paul, that's what he's doing. He gets there, he starts working. He works there until he gets some aid from Titus and Timothy, but his primary goal there was to just start preaching. And he starts telling the Jewish people in the synagogues about Jesus Christ. And we see that he doesn't exactly get the warmest of welcomes. They reviled him. They just mocked him. They just scorned him. Like, we don't want to hear your junk. And Paul's like, all right, I did my job. I gave you a chance. I preached the gospel, and now I'm going to the Gentiles. And we see that the gospel here, as Paul preaches to those who are proud, those who feel like they're self-righteous, it's just offensive. And for a lot of us here, especially those who maybe have grown up in the church, or those who call themselves believers, and you call yourself a Christian, and you've been following Christ, you might not, I don't understand what's so offensive about the gospel. We call it good news, after all. But as you start walking down this road, as you start reading and learning, like just thinking about the gospel, it can be very, very offensive. The gospel says that we are just messed up people who can't do anything right on our own. We're just bad people. And that's when you go, you're sinners. Like we go, you know, we use these words like, you know, we're sinners and we sin. You're a really bad person. That's pretty much it. You're a terrible person. You can't do anything on your own. You're just a person that can't follow God's rule. You think you're moral and upright, but you're really not. That's what the gospel starts off. You think you might got it all together, but you don't. You think you're really moral and righteous, but you really can't do it by yourself. Even your best days, they're really bad. Even when you try to do really good things, let's be honest, there's a whole bunch of selfish motives involved. You can't do anything good on your own. And that's where the gospel starts out. And that, just to a lot of people, when you first hear it, that's really offensive. It's like, what do you mean I'm bad? What do you mean I need to be saved? What do you mean I've done wrong things? What do you mean I can't? I think I'm a pretty good person. And a lot of times when we say, like, oh, people are so offended by the gospel, and we talk about, like, oh, you know, when Christians do these things that really hurt other people, we should be doing this, and we should be doing that, which is true, right? We can make the gospel, in some sense, less offensive, but in essence, at the very root core of it, the gospel is pretty offensive. I went out to lunch after church one Sunday. I brought one of my youth kids out, and as we were kind of getting served, I couldn't help but overhear a conversation that was going on just a couple tables down. And this it seemed like this lady, this young adult lady, was having lunch with, looked like it was like her grandma, her mom, you know, like a little family dinner going out. They went out to eat. And she went to church that Sunday. Or she was talking about a church experience that happened pretty recently. I'm assuming it was that Sunday because, you know, it was Sunday afternoon. And I'm assuming that she was invited out there. Or she was checking a church out or something like that. And she was just saying, yeah, the preacher was just, gosh, they're so, you know, she was like, they're so closed-minded, and these people are so negative. And, you know, I just couldn't help but, what? You know, listening. And immediately I'm kind of like, oh, man. Oh, no. You know, she probably went to one of those churches where the people just, like, yelling and screaming about, you know what I'm talking about? Just, like, probably went to one of those, like, Southern Baptist churches. I went to a Southern Baptist convention, right, so I can make fun of my people, right? So it's like, you know, it's like when he's like, oh, she probably went, like, there probably was, like, the guy was probably, like, probably said a lot of things that kind of detracted from the gospel, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, oh, he probably said that a lot of those things that we kind of immediately, for me, I was just like, oh, geez, here we go. She probably went to one of those, like, you know, King James only suit and ties are very, like, seems. I want to say the word seems because I don't know, right? Seems very judgmental and stuff like that. I just assumed that she went to those churches that seemed very judgmental, very mean and whatever. And so I was just kind of like, so I started listening. I was like, what happened? Like, man, what happened? And she was going, the preacher up there said stuff like, we were sinners. And we need Jesus. We need forgiveness. She's like, I can't believe he would say something like that. I mean, you know, I'm kind of like, I don't remember the exact words she's saying, but it went down that line. She was not very happy. And she's like, what are you talking about? We're bad people. And I was just like, oh my goodness, right? Like, the preacher just preached the gospel to her, but she's, I always thought it was like a good thing. Like, oh, you know, most, I was like, wow, she's genuinely offended by it. She's just genuinely offended by the gospel. And I was just kind of like, well, I'm, praise God that the church is preaching the gospel, but it kind of opened my eyes for a bit, because especially when we grow up in the church, we don't think of it as offensive. But it is. And it can be. And here's the thing, like, we don't want to water down our preaching or our sharing of the gospel. I think it's just one of those things we got to go, at the very core, some people are going to get offended by it. Let's not add anything more to it, but let's not take things away from it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need to talk about all the peripheral stuff. That's not a big deal. Let's not talk about that stuff. We need to talk about the essence of the core, you know? We're not talking about you have to be really good. We don't have to, like, you know, we come to this church, we're not going, you have to dress up, you have to talk a certain way, you have to do certain things, you have to vote Republican. You know, we don't do things like that. You know, because those are, honestly, those are secondary things. Whether your political affiliations, whether where you live, or how much money you have, that stuff doesn't matter. We can talk about all that stuff later. But at the core, we're going, Jesus Christ came to give us a second chance at life. Because we messed up our first chance. Because we are just, I mean, as much as we want and try to be good people, we just can't do it. We can't. We're just rotten to the core as much as we don't want to know and believe. And we need Christ to cleanse us from within. We need Christ to save us from that. But for those, that's what we need to stick to. And people are offended by it, so let it be, but let's not add to it, but let's not take away from that. Because if you start taking things away, the gospel is no longer there. So we just keep on going and see what happens. All right, so let's go. We see that the Jews there, just offended, they're like, forget about it. I don't want to listen to it. All right? And Paul, as we know, apostle of Jesus, seems to know what he's doing, loves his people. As we read later on, we know he loves his people. He loves the Jews. He said he was willing to give up his own salvation for the Jews to be saved. Okay, so I don't think he's like angry at them type of deal. I don't think he's preaching out of pride. I mean, he loves his people. But he's just kind of like, I did what I needed to do. And he had some people come to faith. They're, the Jewish synagogue leader came to know Jesus. We had this guy that lived right next to the synagogue. It's like, oh, hey. The Gentile right next to the synagogue, he came to know Jesus. So we see some people come to know Jesus. But let's keep on reading, because God does something really interesting and says something really interesting to Paul one night. And so in verse 9 he says, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in the city who are my people.'" And it's Paul. He goes, and he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of the word of God among them. The second thing, as we see that, as we trust in Christ to share the gospel, advance the gospel for His kingdom, as we are called to trust in Christ's promises, here we stumbled on three of Christ's promises. Right? And then we see that God proves Himself faithful to obey His will. And that's just overall, if you want to just kind of give one word sentence to His promise, God proves Himself to those who obey His will. So those who trust in Christ's promises, God proves Himself faithful. And look, as we look at, this is what God says to Paul. We see three things. One, He goes, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I can only imagine that Paul was afraid. Why would God tell Paul not to be afraid if Paul wasn't afraid? I can only assume that even though there were some people coming to Christ, he was discouraged. It was rough for him. He probably wanted out. I don't know. I mean, this is me guessing, okay? He might not. But I'm assuming that he was very discouraged and things were really rough. I can only assume that much. But he says, God goes, do not be afraid. This is his first promise. He goes, the second promise, I am with you. And his last promise, he says, I have many in this city who are my people. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I have many in this city who are my people. I think those are three promises that we can rest and trust in. Those promises that I talked earlier about, as we place our trust in Christ's promises, to advance His kingdom and gospel. I think we can trust in these three things. Just do not be afraid, because I'm with you. And that resounding, do not be afraid, do not fear. And that is just echoing right out the Old Testament time and time again when God went to the prophets and told them that. Do not be afraid. Because here's the thing. A lot of us here are really afraid to share the gospel. A lot of us here are really afraid to share the gospel. And there's various reasons for it. One, we don't know where to begin. Two, it just makes awkward conversation. Three, you just might not like certain people. You don't want to share the gospel with them. And see, at first when I came, as I was prepping for this sermon, I guess I was very optimistic. I go, you know, most of us here, it's not like we hate people. A lot of us here are just afraid to share the gospel. It's not like we don't like our friends. You know, we're fearful. That's what I thought on Monday and Tuesday, okay? And then, throughout this week, I keep on meeting people that are just the biggest jerks in the world type of people. Like, wow, I just met jerk after jerk after jerk. Yes, I'm very mean inside. You don't know, but I can be really mean. All right, and so there's this, and it's like, God, I'm sorry, Jesus. But there's just certain people that just, man, just been rubbing me the wrong way. And they're just like random people. It's like not even people I know. Like I go out and play basketball, and this guy is just a big jerk, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, right? And then you're driving, and these people, I'm like, what are you people doing? And especially, I'm like really nervous these days because I'm like, hey, my wife's pregnant. If you hurt her, I'm going to kill you, right? I mean, I'm like in that mode right now, right? So it's just like I keep on experiencing these things, and I have to sit down. Like literally this morning, I'm just like, I want to tell people, it's not like you hate people. Just go share the gospel because you're afraid. And I realize. I definitely, there's some people that I'm just like, I don't want to tell you about Jesus. I don't care. And I know I'm not the only one that feels this way here, okay? I know I'm not the only sinner here, okay? It's easy to think about your friends and go, yeah, I just need to gather up the courage to tell my friend about Jesus. It's another thing when you're trying to tell someone about Jesus who just flicked you off, okay? And like, I'm just like, I don't want to deal with those type of people. But here's the thing. God goes, well, first, I realize as the just overall grand scheme of Acts, that's not the point what Christians do. Paul tells everybody about Jesus. Paul tells people about Jesus who tries to kill them. Right? Paul goes around getting driven out from place to place. He's not just telling his friends about Jesus. All right, he's telling everybody he runs across about Jesus. And I can't even tell people that I like about Jesus. What makes you think I can tell people I don't like about Jesus? All right, are y'all feeling with me here? I'm like, my southern roots are about to come out here, okay? I'm just going, it's just, God says, do not be afraid. And second, because I am with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, do not be afraid because I'm with you. And I'm just going, we have very little, in some sense, we have very little responsibilities as Christians, you know what I mean? It's not like God tells us to save the world or the trees or the ants or whatever. Like, we're called to be good stewards. But one of the biggest things, like, we're called to love Jesus and follow Jesus and worship him and be good testimonies. But one of the big things, like, part of our kind of being as Christians is to share the gospel. That's like a big thing that we're supposed to be doing. And we're not. You know what I mean? Like, for us here, just think about it, right? Just us being here, if you told five people about Jesus, this year is considered a success. If you're running a business and you gave out five advertisements, I'm not saying that church is a business, I'm just saying, right? If you're running a business and you go, I ran five commercials, that's not a success. I'm going, our bar's so low, you know what I'm saying? Our bar's really low, how us sharing the gospel to people. And here's the thing, here's the cool thing. It's not like we're a business and we have to just do more and just get the word out and do all these things. Because here's the last promise. He goes, I have many in the city who are my people. God promises this. Just do your job and I'll do mine. You know, God's going, just do your job. I'll take care of the rest. And it comes an illusion of God going, throw out the net, I'll catch the fish. Throw out the net, I'll catch the fish. Don't worry about where you're sailing. Don't worry about where it's going. Don't worry about any. Just throw out the net, and I'll catch the fish. A lot of people get kind of confused about this because they're going, well, what is this like? Isn't it people's responsibility? Is it God, like God's sovereignty? What's going on? And then a lot of people are like, well, you know, what happened to people's responsibility? And it's like, this is not the point. The point is God is encouraging Paul and encouraging us. Don't worry about anything else. Do your job. Do your part. I'll do my part. That is so encouraging, isn't it? That you can't really, God going, even if you stumble through your testimony and stumble, Jesus died on the cross for you. He loves you. My name is Dennis High, right? Like, doesn't really matter how he is. Like, God's like, you don't bear that responsibility to save people. You don't. I don't. You bear the responsibility to obey me. So if people reject you, it's not because you did something. If people don't want to listen to you, it's not because you messed up. God lets us off the hook on this and going, and you know what? On top of that, I promise you there's people out there that are going to respond to the gospel. All I'm asking you is throw out the net. So for us, it's just figuring out what is our roadblock. What is the roadblock in front of us that is preventing you from sharing Christ with your friends or with your family or to your coworkers or to people you don't like? What's the roadblock up there? Are you going, I'm just afraid? Or are you going, you know, I don't trust what you're doing? Or maybe going, God, you need to work some heart surgery in me because I don't even like that person to want to share the gospel with them. There's different roadblocks in front of us going, why? What prevents us from doing what we're made to do and called to do? Because here's the thing, folks. Worship is not just singing songs and coming on Sundays. It's definitely part of it. Worship encompasses everything. And to share the gospel with people, that's part of worship. You know, To serve at church, that's not out of worship. To give your offering and tithes, that's part of worship. To share the gospel, that's part of worship. Our lives, everything is done in worship. It's not obligation, it's out of worship, you know? It's worship. How much do you think God is worth? Not. And we don't tell people about that? It seems like he's not worth a lot to us, or we just really hate people. See, it's one or the other, right? Like, either we don't love God, we don't really think God's really that much, not that big of a deal, or we really hate people. We really believe that there's a hell, and we really believe that people will go there, and we kind of withhold that from people. I mean, going down the logical progressions, that's just like, dang, how selfish are we? Because somebody told you about Christ. Somebody told me about Christ. We didn't find out on our own. Somebody shared the gospel to us. We're called to do the same. And so let's look at the very end. All right, so it goes, when Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul. What do you know, right? The Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, this man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. Because they had laws there saying there's official religions you're allowed to worship, and I guess like unofficial things that will be contrary to Roman law. They're talking about Roman law here, okay? And he goes, but when Paul was about to open his mouth, Galileo said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it's a matter of questions about words, names, and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things. This is a pretty big, significant thing that's going on here. This guy pretty much says that he kind of gives, you know, he gives his, he pretty much says that Christians, it's an official religion. To him, he's going, it's just a spinoff of Judaism. That's your problem. But it's not illegal. It's not illegal for you to worship Christ. Good thing for a long time. All right, this is really good. All right, and goes, and they drove him out of the tribunal, and then they seized Sothenius, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. All right, so I kind of messed up here. Our last point was, I gave the wrong point, right? So let me review for us to see, let's just review this. Okay, it goes, the first point we see that the gospel is offensive to the proud and righteous. The gospel is offensive to the proud and righteous. The second point that I failed to acknowledge is our preaching and our words are God's tool for salvation. Our preaching and our words are God's tool for salvation. As we kind of saw what's going on. And lastly, God proves himself faithful to those who obey his will. God proves himself faithful to those who obey. And so we see that Paul was promised earlier that God will protect and watch over him. Right? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And then we see that the Jews, about 18 months later, they pull him out, and they're trying to, like, get Paul in trouble. They're kind of sick of what Paul is doing. And before anything can be done, I mean, Paul didn't have to speak on his behalf, and he was set free. And we see, like, you know, Paul was, like, probably like, oh, my goodness, what's going on, right? Like, here's God's promises, and God just shows himself. Look, I'm protecting you the whole time. I remember when I was in school, when I was at seminary, one of the classes, or one of our professors would used to tell his youth, he would tell the youth parents, anytime they try to do missions and mission trips, he says that your kids are safest when they're in God's will. And he said these, you know, because they went to a lot of different places that sometimes could be a little dangerous. You know, not too dangerous, but it can kind of be a little dangerous. And he'll tell these things, and he told us that one day he kind of figured out that might not necessarily be true. In a sense, none of us can really promise that your kid or you will come out. But when we look at the big picture, what can people really do to us? Take away your stuff? Hurt you? Kill you? I mean, sounds like a big thing, but honestly, big picture. Let's look big picture. Our future is secure. Our eternity is secure. If our greatest prize and greatest treasure is Christ, there's nothing they can take away. And that's kind of hard for... And that's what I want all of us to move to, you know what I'm saying? If God takes away everything that I have, for me to be like, you know, blessed be your name, praise you, because you're the greatest treasure cannot be taken from me. God promises to be faithful to us, and he has. But this doesn't necessarily mean the small stuff. Like, he doesn't promise that we'll remain safe, but he promises to be with us to the end. I'm thinking about this, I'm going, so they kill me, and I'm in eternity with Christ. Like, you know, when you get up there, you're not like, why did you... I can do this, God. Heaven's not too bad after all, you know. You know, you're not going, bring me back down there. You know, bring me back to earth. You're just kind of like, dude, I get to hang out with Jesus forever. Yeah, I can dig this. You know, he's like, this is much better than what I left. But a lot of us, we forget that. We think this is heaven. It's not. And for those who are believers, this is as close as hell as we get. So if we leave here
Man, it's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. If they take things away from us, who cares? My treasure is Christ. Who cares if you take anything away? Now, that's easy to say. It's easy to preach. It's not easy to live. But God proves himself faithful to us. And that's the thing. Like, God is faithful to us. So just go out and just preach the word and be fearless. Because what is there for us to be afraid? There's nothing. So the application, I mean, today's is really simple. Really simple. You want to go and go, go back and read this yourself and go, you know, there's one thing that we can do. Just go share the gospel with people. Think of who you want to share the gospel with. Just go do it. There's friends, there's family, there's coworkers, there's people everywhere. Go pray with somebody. Go talk to someone about Jesus. Go ask how they're doing. And here, this is what I'm going to do, okay? So I can be held accountable. Every once in a while I go on Ace, because I mean, I guess it's just me and Josh here, right? We can share the gospel with each other. And I guess we can feel really good about ourselves, but you know, we're not really advancing his kingdom. So I go out to A Street, and there's a Starbucks there, and I go work there sometimes. I realize I really like working with just noise around me. I hate sitting in the office. So I'll go out there sometimes. And some of the baristas there know me. They'll say hi to me because they see me enough. But I've always been some of them know that where I work. But I don't think I've ever asked them, like, if I can pray for them or tell them about Jesus or whatever. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that I take this. I will not be afraid because I know God's with me. I will not be fearful of what man thinks. And I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to go and try to talk to them, pray with them, and tell them about Jesus. That's my job. There's this one person I'm thinking about right now that I go, you know, if I was willing to share things about my, you know, like, I remember when I went out there and she was like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, and if I was willing to share about how my dad passed away and how hard that's been, I think I can also share about the great things that I know. And I haven't. So that's what I want to do. Okay? Of course, one is just a drop of bucket, like how many people that I run across every single day that I can tell people about Jesus. But that's one person that just came to my mind. Now it's your turn. Okay, it's your turn. Because it has nothing to do with how big or small the church gets. It doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you feel, because it doesn't matter. But we're talking about eternity at stake. And we're talking about God going that there will be success and there will be failures, but that's not up to us. You know what I mean? Like, God's just going, your job, share the gospel. Share the gospel, and that's all we need to do. We got Christmas coming around, and that's perfect opportunity. Easy, easy avenue. Think of one person, two people, three, I don't know. Let this church be a gospel-sharing church. Let's pray.